The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney and we're here for another week with the feature Run to the Rose meeting at Rose Hill. I'm really looking forward to this meeting as I bring in Ray Hickson. It's the weather. Look, there's a little bit of rain coming across, but I think we're going to have a nice, good track still on race day. And for me, I think it's going to race very even.
Yeah, well, we've said it a few times, Nick. Rose Hill's been playing really well all through the middle part of the year. The winter, traditionally, you get all sorts of different patterns unfold. Bit of a shower rolling through probably just saves them watering it. They probably didn't do anything with the track there on Thursday with the shower forecast. So, yeah, look, railing the true. I'd expect we'll be on a good track tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll get straight into it. Let's get into the Run to the Rose. And as we speak, cylinder $1.85. I'm not sure about that. I think it'll probably get back out on race day, but we can talk more about that now. And, Ray, who have you got on top in the feature?
I tossed and turned about this race a little bit, Nick, and I ended up going back to Libertad. I mean, what's he done wrong? Three starts, three wins. He was underdone first up in the San Domenico. Drew wide. Chad Schofield put him into a good spot. He comes up with gate three this time. He's fitter. There was something to like about him, so I just feel like he's the horse to beat because he gets the chance also to dictate to Cylinder.
Mm.
Cylinder's drawn on his outside, and I would imagine that Chad would want to try and keep him out a little bit. What did you make of Cylinder's first up win in the Vane Stakes? I mean, he absolutely fell in at $1.50. I don't think there's a whole lot of form around the race. He's going to be fitter, absolutely. But, how do you line him up?
I think he's best bet of the day.
There you go.
I think there's a few ways to look at that race. For me, I actually thought he was quite game. Now, they went at a very moderate tempo early, but they really amped up at the 600 and sprinted very hard as a whole. And you look at the clock against the day there, and at the last 600 was very, very slick. And so there's a lot of merit in the back end there. And I just don't actually think he's comfortable around Caulfield. I think he was there sitting outside the leader, but I thought he actually stuck his head out the last couple of bounds and past the post. But for me, he's just adaptable. He maps to have all favours. I really like Nash going on. Look, he's got a great record with James Cummings, I should say. And Godolphin have a very good strike rate in this race itself. On Cylinder, I thought he's come in. He's come in from a really good, strong campaign. I liked his trials back going the clockwise direction. There's just a lot that looks positive for him on Saturday, and I think it's going to be hard to hold out.
That is a good point about Caulfield. Quite often, yeah, it's been going on for years. Quite often people say that, you know, the first time around Caulfield can be a bit problematic for horses trained, you know, used to racing in the clockwise direction. So look, that is a good point. I'd still like to look, Godolphin talk bullishly about this horse, and they always throw their best, or seem to throw their best three-year-old at this race.
Yeah.
In Secret won it last year, Animo,
Bivouac,
Astern, Exosphere.
Yeah.
They were all right at the top of the tree of their three-year-olds of their year. So you've got to respect Cylinder. You're right, though. He's a bit short.
Yeah, I think
we'll get $2 at least.
I've marked him more like that 5 to 4, 220 to 240. I think the $1.85, they might just be having a bit of fun with us on a Friday morning. But I think when you look at this with the markets, you know, there's a lot of multi-money going in early.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to just wait on the day and things will start to level out when that percentage comes down.
What are you expecting from Militarize and Don Corleone first up? Because they're probably more your 1,400 miler horses. This is currently looking at a field of 10.
Yep.
Obviously, connections of both horses want to see their horses hitting the line strongly. Are they any chance?
I think I actually put Don Corleone in for second. I really like this horse. I thought his trial the other day was pretty solid enough. Militarize, now it's starting to get out to a crazy price. I know it's got bigger goals in the preparation. They're probably going to go back from that wide draw. At $18, it started, what is it, $2 in the champagne, won that with ease. It's a big price. Like, it's starting, I just can't see it being that price on race day. Like, I just can't see the big syndicates letting it go around. at that odds.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's an interesting one, militarized, to see where... And it's the same with a lot of these three-year-olds. We've seen some of them come back from their really good two-year-old season and maintain their form or even lift on it. And you see some of them not quite come back. What do we do with militarized? Well, his Group 1 wins... were on wet tracks.
Yep.
At 14 and 1600 metres. So he lands here on virtually a good track at 1200 metres. You'd expect him to find it too short. If he picks them up,
just look out for the rest. But I think that's the point also why I'm coming back to, and I agree with you with Libertad. You go through this field and you're like, is today the day where they're going to be forward to produce their best? And I think Cylinder could only improve off its first up effort. Like Libertad's can only improve, and they're both going to be map positive, whereas some of these are going to be dragged back to last and, as you said, wanting to hit the line for a big preparation ahead.
We could be in for a very interesting tactical battle between Nash and Chad on these two horses. Yeah, look, just Cylinder could well be the ace for Godolphin. Like, you know, there's been Everest talk around him. You know, he ran second in the slipper. Shinzo produced a freakish performance that day. Look, I guess it's all up to Cylinder to stick his hand up and say, look, I want to take you on again in the Golden Rose in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, like starting favourite in a Golden Slipper, and then I know he only won narrowly first up in the muck. He expected him to win, but it was still to start twos on in a solid enough race, you know, with a vein. Like, it's a good profile for Saturday. And look, he should be putting these away. If he doesn't, I think In Secret should be their Everest horse, personally.
I think In Secret is their Everest horse at the moment, and I think that's just a position for her to lose.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me at all if both horses end up in the Everest. I mean, Godolphin is allowed to shop their horse around if they want to. So, yeah, look, what are we, 5 weeks away from the Everest now? We've only got four runners at the moment. So the field's going to take shape very quickly.
Yep.
And look, Cylinder, even maybe Libertad could put his hand up to say, look, after the Golden Rose, why not put me in the Everest?
Yep, no, I agree. All right, let's go to the head-to-head. Now, this has been a bit of a betting duel as well. They backed IME when they first went up, and now it's just been a truckload of money by the looks of it on Zapateo. So I think they're the two horses that in the Scirocco where a lot of people are going to warm to. Ray, how did you see it out of these two?
Yeah, look, I think races aren't run on paper, but on paper I can't see how Zapateo gets beaten here.
Yeah, okay.
Like, seriously, James Cummings was talking her up big time in the Concord last week, and they had a look at the race, had a rethink, and said, look, there's a mare's race here in a week's time. Send her around in a nice little barrier trial. She went head and head with Buenos Notches in a barrier trial on Tuesday just to clean her out. She's got a nice soft gait. She's got guaranteed speed here in front of her. You look back through her autumn mare's form and a race like the Birthday Card, somewhat similar to this.
Yeah,
on a good track at Rose Hill, 1,200 metres, she cantered in. Then she went to the Sapphire against the Mares on a wet track at Randwick and cantered in.
Yeah.
Then they sent her to Adelaide and she recorded a couple of Group 1 placings in their sprints over there. She's trialled up brilliantly. Like I said, the map says Zapateo. I'm not surprised the money has come for her.
Yeah.
IME is in a tricky spot here. Barrier 7 of 9 with Queen of the Ball and Cinderella Days drawn barriers 1 and 2.
Yeah.
She may have to do a little bit of work there to get across. That's the way I see it.
Zapateo just lands there straight.
She just lands there. Yeah. She's won in the 1-1 pretty much in every map that you can possibly draw in this race.
Yep.
So, look, IME, she was brilliant winning the missile. Obviously, there was an incident in that race. The form behind us seems to be okay.
Yep.
Look, it's really up to where she happens to land. If Adam Hieronymus can get her into a spot comfortably, well, she might well go on with it again. But just every way I look at it, Zapateo on paper has to win this race.
Yeah. Look, I'm probably not going to be betting in this race. Mm-hmm. I thought there was just a few questions on a lot of the horses, but you can tie these two in where in the Oakley Plate they did start pretty much the same price, and they come out of that at the same weight going into this. So there's not, again, not much difference between them, where I was trying to look for a little angle there. Look, I ended up tipping IME purely because just at the better odds. I just think she's got a fantastic record. I like that first up win. It's just her last bounce got me in. Like, she did have all favours, but she really wanted to get through the line there. And she's just come back on a really strong figure that I think she can step off. But look, Zaya Tapo, they don't try much better than that. It's going enormous. And as you said, it just gets the suck run. It's the setup horse. But yeah, for me, I didn't have much between them. So that's why I lent IME, but it's probably not a betting race for me. Like, there's horses in this you could go down and probably spec at odds. It's like Cinderella Days. It's not the worst at huge odds.
Sunshine in Paris, what do you do about her? I mean, she was sold for nearly $4 million after a Group 1 win. Now she's back, she's trialled okay. I had a chat to Ryan Maloney during the week. Yep. And he said her work on Tuesday was the best she's ever done, and she's not a big worker.
Yep.
Now, I actually asked him, are you worried about that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're on a horse that's normally a little bit sluggish in its track work, then all of a sudden it's a jet.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And look, I mean, I guess his opinion was that he can see it as a good thing. He said she's sharp, she's ready to go.
Yeah.
It's really up to her to put her name up. There was Everest talk around her.
Yeah.
I remember back when she had the exhibition gallop with Zaki. Mm. Annabelle Neesham said she's going to run in the Scirocco first up, and, you know, we're hoping to get her into the Everest. And, you know, look, we haven't talked about Zugotcha, Espiona.
Yeah, the list doesn't stop.
You know, I think a tissue is probably a bit of an offensive price for the horse that she is, but 1,200 metres on a good track, she'll probably find that a bit short. Yeah, look, there's so many angles here, but I go back to it. I say on paper, I can't see Zapateo getting beaten, but races aren't run on paper.
All right, the fly in the ointment. Who better than Gracilla Styler? Favourite again. It's the punters. I don't know. Are they sick of her, Ray? Surely.
Well, they mustn't be sick of her if she's favourite. But look, or he's favourite, I should say.
Yeah, he's. Sorry, yes.
Look, again, on paper, this looks ideal for Gracilla Styler. Nash has had one go on him. Nearly got it right. Yeah, Marquess is going to be, you know, well supported or well fancied in his race tomorrow as well. It's just a matter of Nash getting it right on him, and look, Nash gets it right on most horses, particularly after he's had one go. I just think the way this race looks to map, we know he's going to be in the probably middle to second half of the field, but he's got barrier two. You've got Danish Prince, Lavoir, Ivan's Hero, if he's there, pushing forward. If he can put himself a couple of lengths off the lead, he's a big chance. And I know you like this horse. I am scared stiff of Unspoken. 1,250 metre trials. I don't know about you. I find the 9 and 1,000 metre trials the most significant to draw things from. 700 metre trials and longer trials, I'm not so keen on. So Unspoken, he looks superb beating Tazarel in that Hawkesbury trial a couple of weeks ago. He's got barrier one. Blinkers off. Paul Snowden seemed to think that the blinkers were just working against him when they went on last preparation. You look at his first two runs when he didn't have them on last preparation. Just missing at Kenzo and very unlucky at Hawkesbury.
Yep.
So perhaps the blinkers coming off is a good thing for him. He's got the winkers on. He's got barrier one. If Gracilly Styler happens to hit the front, this horse will be breathing down his neck. And the poor Cerise horse might find one, get over the top of him in the last couple of strides. I don't know. But I know you're a little bit keen on him, so you should talk to him.
Yeah, well, firstly with Gracilly Styler, this is the perfect numbers versus the horse's name scenario. If you didn't know this horse's name and you just looked at its numbers and how it's been running and it's the video off at last start, you're right, like, it deserves to be favourite. I've just had to go a different way, and it's been quite well found, though. Unspoken, though, I think it's 9s to 460.
You're probably right price now.
Yeah, like, it's been pretty well found. Like, I don't think I could take any shorter than that. Second preparation import for the Snowdens. I did like its trial the other day. Did have the winkers on. First up, last preparation, I thought the Louvre went at a very fast pace that day. So just had a bit too much to do over the 1550, but he hit the line really well with the 60. He carries weight. I liked the races he came out of to finish his preparation. That run behind Akasawa, I thought there was a lot of merit to that. And then Naval College, he just didn't really handle the turn there, and he was wide, and I was actually thinking he was looking for further than the 2,000 being fourth up. So back first up, nice trial, fresh, second preparation as an import. Barrier one, Josh Paron. There's a few little ticks there. Just to look elsewhere, like you look at a horse like Venelope, who's probably been one of mine, but I'm still not sure about it at the trip, but blinkers on. So that's another way you could look at it. But Unspoken, I have to be with. A Gristilli Styler. She's going to get one day. She's going to get one day. I keep calling her.
It's got that name, yeah. Doesn't it? But it's probably a good thing he's got blinkers on, because, like I said, I think if Unspoken beats him, he'll be picking him up in the last few strides. So
yeah, and Nash Robilio, he's the perfect jockey for this horse.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to rapid fire. Everyone's favourite time of the week.
Yes.
The over, the odds for you, Ray.
Look, I went to the last race for the over the odds. Now, it's a very, very hit and miss horse. I've got him in fourth pick in the race, which probably stands to his record, but Dynamic Impact. Race 10, number 9, was around $41 when I last looked, and his record is 28 starts for 8 wins and nothing else.
Wow.
So his first up record is 6 starts for 3 wins and nothing else. So he's either going to be the quaddy killer at the end of the day, or he might run a nice first up 4th or 5th. He trialled quite well behind Remark and Andermatt in a 900 metre trial at Rose Hill about a month ago. He's got a nice soft gait. No one's going to be paying attention to him. He could probably land on Red Card's back, perhaps in the run.
Yep.
And if he feels like running a place, he hasn't felt like it yet, he might be able to lob in there at good odds each way. I do like Red Card to win the race, so I'm not sort of tipping him to win, but I think he's a horse that...
Well, $41, you put him in your quaddy, and if he happens to...
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's a good result, so yeah, if over the odds, I like that. For me, I'm going to go to the Ming Dynasty. I'm backing two runners in this race. I respect the favourite. I think it should be favourite Tom Kitten, but I'm going to actually back two maiden gallopers, that are coming off maiden wins, Raff Attack and Ashfall. I liked Raff Attack's win 38 days ago at the Kenzo. Had all favours, but I really liked its sprint there. And there's something about this horse that I like. It's an improver. And the other one is Ashfall, who went out on a very strong win at Hawkesbury. I liked his trials as well. First up, Chris Waller's probably got bigger grand finals. But if he can just lob midfield on a genuine tempo, I think it's got the ability to run over the top of them fresh. It's a really nice horse. So they're both around that $11, $13 mark.
Chris's preview earlier in the week suggested he might develop into a spring champion type of horse. So
yep.
He's been scratched a couple of times from midweek assignments. So if he kicks his campaign off here, it says that Chris does have a good opinion of him. So yeah, respect that. This is an interesting race, the Ming Dynasty, isn't it? There's so many different angles. You've got the up-and-coming form from a couple of weeks ago that Tom Kitten won. And then you've got all these horses coming off, you know, midweek maiden wins and things like that. Chael Wolf is another one.
But it was strong.
Very interesting race. So,
I think Ashford, just quickly, I reckon he does have putting you in this race, but as soon as that horse won, straight for a spell, back for spring. So that just told me straight away he likes this horse. Let's go with Under the Odds.
Go to the Highway for Under the Odds.
Yep.
Take the Kitty, the favourite. Look, she's definitely a horse to beat. Sorry, he is definitely a horse to beat.
Another one.
Another one. Got me too.
Yeah.
Backmarker.
Yep.
Backmarker in a Highway, you know. Backmarkers in general, they're low percentage plays. He might have been a little bit stiff in the Melody Again Highway a couple of weeks ago, but... you know, like he's had three goes of highway, he's got a long way back, flooded home, and you got to take $2.50.
Yeah.
Don't know about that. Look, I backed Miss Thatcher in that highway that Tate the Kitty ran second in a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think he's still got out.
Yeah, that was just
Miss Thatcher. So I'm going to stick with her, but look, I think 250, that's a bit skinny for me.
Yeah, look, I'm joining the train, Grassilli style. That's my under the odds. It's worn me down. And even with that, though, on a serious note, I couldn't get it to the price it is now. It's not far off, but I do suspect it probably will trade a little bit
better. It comes down to two things with the price on Grassilli Styler, I think. One, whether Ivan's Hero is there.
Yep.
Chris did indicate he may wait,
yep,
given he's drawn wide. And how much support Unspoken attracts. Because he's the go-to horse.
Yeah.
He's the other horse to go to. So, I think those factors might come into play.
Absolutely. And now we're going to go to sectional star or a trial horse. Are you ready?
Well, I might go with the trial horse / out wide country horse. Yeah. I'm going to go with Gundagai Race 1, number 11.
Beautiful, yeah.
This horse is from the Scott Collings stable, and the horse's name is Tickle Belly.
Yeah.
Interestingly named.
When's that? Gundagai Sunday?
Gundagai Sunday, race one, number 11. It's had two trials. The latest one of those was on a heavy track, won by Shelby 66. Now,
yeah,
we know Shelby 66 very well. We know heavy tracks is his go. So that was a particularly good trial from Shelby. This horse hit the lead about 50 to 100 metres to go in the trial, and there were a couple of horses out wide that just sort of finished off, and Shelby 66 was one of those, and it was beaten half a length, I think. This race at Gundagai, it's drawn barrier 3, nice soft gate. It's not a lot in this race. It's another first starter that looks hard to beat. I think from an out wide or a trial horse, we'll go with that one. Gundagai race 1, number 11.
Yeah, sectional star for me is, I've got it second pick, though. It's Madame Pomery in race 9. I thought she ran the fastest board of the two of the whole entire meeting. There a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I like her fresh, think she can sprint well. So I'm going to back in, and also Argentia in that race, which has been another one well found now. So I think we can just wait a bit tomorrow. I think they might get back out to better prices. My out wide, Armadale, race 2, number 8. Quick back up, Glorine, back to the home track, I think can win there. But let's quickly get through our best bets, Ray.
I'm going to be patient. Actually, my best sort of play, the thing I'm going to do tomorrow when I get to the track, is I'm going to put a parlay on of three horses. Now,
yep,
you don't like Grassilli Styler, but he's going to be the first leg of it. It's going to go into Zapateo, and then it's going to end up with Red Card, who I've put my best bet of the day. I kind of feel tipping against Smashing Eagle, you know, is something I'm a little bit sad about, because I've been on him for a few starts now, and you know, he got the job done two starts ago, and he was a little bit stiff last start, back marker again, so you know, he's going to probably get beaten more than he wins. But Red Card looks like it's going to get an absolute picnic in front here. She's trialed up well, form last preparation was outstanding.
Yeah,
punters have found her. Hopefully they don't find her too much more, because I think she's getting into short enough. So, but she'd be my best race 10, number 4.
Yeah, well, I think if your first two get home, you can just, you know, save yourself the mental angst if Smashing Eagle comes down.
Well, that's exactly right.
So you can have something on it. Yeah.
Yep.
Look, I've got three bests for over the whole weekend. Rosehill Race 8, number 2, Cylinder. I thought there's more substance to this horse against the back end of the clock there last start, and visually that it can improve off this. And I just think it's a race where there's a few resuming who are looking for grand finals later. Kembla Race 2, number 3, held better. I think it's a big improvement with a much more positive race setup coming up out of a very strong race as well. And as I said before, Armadale Race 2, number 8, Glorine on the quick backup. I think it's a really nice horse on a Saturday to have a bet in the country. It's probably a Sky 2 meeting, which I suspect, but they all pay the same, Ray.
They pay the same. Just before we wrap up, we probably should give a nod to Nature Strip and Eduardo, who retired out of the Concord last week. Sad to see them go. It was nice to read this morning that they're going to get farewells
at
the track.
True.
So I believe that Eduardo is going to be at Randwick next week for the shorts, and Nature Strip's going to lead out the Premier Stakes field a couple of weeks later on. So that's great to see. It's sad to see them go. They've been fantastic horses. We've loved watching them do battle.
Yeah.
And now it's up to the next generation to, you know, endear themselves to the public and the punters as much as those two horses have. So
yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, I loved Eduardo, but there was just something about Nature Strip, just the way he raced as well, like how he raced. He was always exciting, and I think, like, I have a lot of mates that, you know, they don't mind having a bet on a Saturday, but that really got them in as well, a horse like Nature Strip. And I think that's probably the main thing I want to take out of that horse. Like, he got a lot of people got involved in the game to watch
it. He was fantastic. I had a bad record in finding him. He won 22 races, and I don't know that I found him too many times, but you know, watching him win in England was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, his TJ Smith wins were brilliant, you know. Look, I think the Everest found him out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he did win one of them.
Yeah.
But when you're the type of horse that Nature Strip was, you're that bold, free-running, brave horse up on speed, you're going to be vulnerable sometimes.
And, yeah.
And, you know, the other opposing riders found, you know, discovered that the ways to make him vulnerable, and particularly in a couple of those Everests, and that brought him undone. But, gee, when Nature Strip was at its best...
There's nothing better than Nature Strip. Third up, 28 days between runs, grand final day.
Yeah, Chris got it right.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
All right. Thank you, everyone, listening on in, and hopefully you can find a few winners over the weekend.